This is from the book of Luke, chapter 2. It's titled, The Birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. The shepherds and the angels. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angel went up from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Hello. My name is Barnabas of Bethlehem. What's your name?
Me?
That's an interesting name. Well, I want to tell you about me and a story. I have a really cool story for you this morning, too. Like I said, my name is Barnabas of Bethlehem. And you guys, I think you work your ages different. You have a certain year or something that you say, right, that you were born. We don't do that. We didn't have that same calendar. When I was born, Herod the Great overthrew Antigonus and was named king of Judea by the Romans. Okay, that's how we determine how old we are. We say a certain event that happened in history. Okay, now when Herod became king, he wasn't really the true king. Okay, we've been waiting for a true Davidic king to sit on the throne in Israel for guess how long? How long do you think? 60 years? That's a pretty good guess, but it's longer. What do you think? 85. All right, we're getting a little bit closer, not much. Benjamin, what do you think? Oh, sorry, I don't know you. What?
100.
Getting closer. Actually, we've been waiting for a true Davidic king for 600 years. Yes, I'm sorry I didn't ask you. So anyways, until then, we're under the rule of Caesar. The Romans have taken over, and they put Herod in charge of our little area. And this is what's going on, what life is like in my country, okay? What Caesar is doing is a census. Does anyone know what a census is? You don't know?
I'm not a shepherd.
You're not a shepherd? You don't need to be a shepherd to know this. They do censuses in Minnesota, I believe, too. Okay? What they do is, what do you think? Count how many people are in the house, yeah. And people have different reasons for doing different censuses, but what Caesar was doing a census for was taxes, okay? Do you guys know taxes? Mom and Dad pay those? Too much, right? Too much in our day, too. So what Caesar would do, he counts how many people are in under his rule in his kingdom so he can tax them appropriately and get lots of money, okay? So what was going on in my country at that time was a census. Caesar wanted to know how many people are under my rule. I want to tax them. And everyone had to go to their registered place. Okay? Do you guys have voting here? Do you vote for people that... Yeah, okay. So, and can your parents just vote from their house, or do they have to go to a place and register and vote at a certain place? You don't know? I think that's how it works. I was talking to a guy out there on the street. And so what was happening in Bethlehem at this time, people would have to come. Bethlehem was one of the places where they would have to register for their census. So we had people coming from all over to register. Okay? Now imagine, do you guys know where Rochester is? Mom and Dad, do you know? Imagine going that far to have to vote. That's how far many people would have to travel to register for this census. Well, imagine you guys have cars. I see them driving around. Imagine having to walk to Rochester and the journey that that would take. You would have to do a lot of planning. You would have to set money aside, all that to make that trip possible. You probably wouldn't want to do it this time of the year. This is cold here in Minnesota, colder than what it was in Bethlehem. Okay, so imagine lots of people coming into Bethlehem for the census all year long. They're coming, and it was really good for the economy. Now, it's great for Bethlehem's economy. I love that, but I don't like crowds. That's why I have a job that gets away from the people. Do you want to guess what job I do? What about you? What do you think? What do you think? Picking up people? No, I try to get away from people. I'm Barnabas from Bethlehem. What do you think my job is? Shepherd? I'm a shepherd. Okay? So I work in pastures less than a parasa from the town of Bethlehem. You guys look confused. You don't know what a parasa is? Well, I looked it up in some of your books here at what you call a library. Okay? And a parasa is how we measure distance, but equaling into your culture, it's about 2.5 miles. Okay? So I'm just a little bit less than that outside of Bethlehem, taking care of sheep. I'm a shepherd. Okay? Can you guys think of any famous shepherds in Scripture?
Jesus.
Who's that?
he was born.
Can you think... Way back in the Scriptures, long, long ago, can you think of any famous shepherds? Have you heard of Abel?
Yeah.
Adam and Eve's son? He was a shepherd. Yeah, have you heard of Abraham? He was a shepherd. Isaac? He was a shepherd. Jacob? He was a shepherd. Moses? Have you heard of Moses? He was a shepherd for a while. Have you heard of King David? He was a shepherd. He wrote a lot of songs that we sing. So I think being a shepherd is a very noble job. But many people disagree with me. And I'll tell you why. We get kind of dirty. We're outside a lot. We get kind of stinky. Have you guys ever been camping for a few days or a week? You, sir, what's the longest you've been camping?
8 days.
8 days. Did you get a shower in there?
Yeah.
You did? Oh, we don't have many of those out in the Bethlehem Hills. We get pretty smelly. But it's okay, because all of us smell the same, and we start to smell like the sheep, and no one complains. It's okay. And have you guys ever driven by a farm? What's the smell when you drive by a farm? Is it a little stinky? Yeah, because there's hundreds or even thousands of animals there, and we're around that smell all the time. Okay? So some people look at us and be like, ugh, You work with sheep? That's stinky. Okay? Now, the Jewish law, too, also prohibited people. It had certain laws on how you have to handle manure or dead animals and things like that. So we were limited to the people that we could come in contact to on a regular basis. Okay? So it was good that we were away from all the people in the hills by ourselves. And shepherds, we tend to be a little bit rough. Our manners aren't so good. We don't always say, excuse me. Sometimes we say language. People look at us weird. You know, we're just kind of a rough bunch, and not a lot of people like being around us. And we also, one thing you want to know, most of us cannot testify in a court of law. So if something happened, we couldn't come and give credible witness. We're just kind of that group of guys that people don't quite trust. They're not sure what to believe. Okay? But we'll talk more on that later. I want to tell you guys a little bit about my duties, my job, watching sheep. Okay? So what do you think happens when I watch sheep? What do I have to watch them for? Any ideas?
To take care of them?
Okay, I got to make sure that they don't wander off, right? You guys have dogs here? You have to keep them on a leash a lot of times, right? You want to make sure they don't wander off. I have to make sure my sheep don't wander off. I also have to watch out for predators, that animals like wolves or lions don't come in and take some of our sheep. We've had to chase some predators off. We also have to watch out for poisonous plants. Make sure the sheep don't eat things they shouldn't. Sometimes we see a plant and we have to get it away from the sheep. Make sure they don't do that and get sick. But sometimes they do get sick and we have to take care of them. Okay? Sometimes we get a sheep that steps into a hole in the ground and it breaks its leg. And we have to take care of it and mend it back to health. Okay? You like my little sheep? Yeah? All right. A lot of times at night, we have to gather all the sheep and put them into a fold so that they'll be safe during the night. So we can't see as far during the night because it's dark, right? So we can't tell if there's predators or if they're wandering off. So we put them in a fold and we take turns watching them over the night. Okay? Some of our flocks, we watch several flocks. Some of them we use for shearing to take the wool off and make clothing, like my vest here. You like that? And some we use to make more sheep, and other flocks we use and we sell to the temple for sacrifices. People use the lambs as sacrifices in the temple. Okay? You guys following me so far? Do you understand about my job? Okay. All right. I work with 14 other shepherds and watch over 2,000 sheep. Okay? And I could tell you guys many, many stories. I've been doing this a long time. All right? I could tell you about the story. It was the coldest, snowiest night we had, and we didn't have any firewood. I could tell you that story. I could tell you a story about the time a big lion came in and started attacking the baby lambs and how we had to chase it off and fight it off. Or I could tell you about the night that frightened us more than any other night. You guys want to hear that?
Mm-hmm.
It frightened us even more than when the lion came in. All right, so I will tell you about that. It was a typical night. It was kind of cool, not this cold. You guys, it's cold in Minnesota. Do you know that? Do you dress up warm? We were bundled up warm that cool night. We were just getting ready. We had all the sheep in the fold, and we were working shifts. So a couple of us would stay up. The rest of the shepherds would sleep. And then a couple would wake up, and they'd take their turn, kind of just watching over the fold, and the rest of us would sleep. We were doing these shifts, and all of a sudden, an angel appeared, and God's glory surrounded us. Have you guys ever seen an angel? No? I can tell you this. It's the most beautiful thing you'll ever see, but it's also the most terrifying thing. I would rather be face-to-face with a lion than an angel. But yet it was beautiful, and we didn't know what to do. We were just still. We're like, what is that? Okay? And the angel spoke, and he said, fear not. And we're thinking, it's already too late. Right? He says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Okay? And then all of a sudden, after he announces that, a multitude of angels, think of the biggest number you can, it was more than that, okay? All up in the sky, and they started singing, and it was the most beautiful song you would ever hear. And they were announcing the Messiah's birth. This song filled us with so much joy, and we couldn't really describe it, but it's almost like joy that our lives would change. We're just shepherds. We're just doing our normal job. And all of a sudden, we get this feeling when we hear this song. Our lives are going to change. Something new is going to happen. Okay? And the birth of the Messiah was just announced to us. We've been waiting for the Messiah longer than we've been waiting for the Davidic king. Thousands of years people have been waiting for the Messiah. And he was just announced to us. And then all of a sudden, this multitude, the angel that spoke to us, just disappeared. And it was quiet again. Dark, cool, crickets chirping. And we're, what do? Okay? We started talking to each other. Is this a dream? No, that wasn't a dream. We all saw it too. Okay? What did we eat? Oh, we didn't eat much today. That was real. Okay? And the strangest thing, other than seeing a multitude of angels, but they said there was the sign that the Savior would be born. He would be lying in a manger. Do you guys know what a manger is? What is a manger? That's correct. Yeah. I've seen some of your pictures of what I'm about to tell you. And the manger, it looks so nice and neat and clean. But the manger is a place where they feed the animals, where they put their food. So, Benjamin, would you like to walk up and place something special in a place where cows slobber all over when they eat?
What?
Would you like to put something you really care about in a place where cows slobber their spit all over when they eat?
Not really.
No, who would do that? And yet, the angel said the sign would be that there's a baby laying in a manger. Who does that? This is weird. Okay? So, we left our sheep because we just saw angels. They told us good news. We want to see what this sign is about. We left our sheep. We decided, you know what? We've never done this before, but I think they're going to be safe for a little bit. We are going to run into Bethlehem, and we are going to find this thing. Because if this is true, all the prophecies from hundreds of years, thousands of years, are being fulfilled this very night. And we don't want to miss it. So we ran to Bethlehem, and on our way in, we checked every single barn and cave that we could. You know that? Our barns look a little different than yours. Yours are huge. We just had little barns that people would build, or sometimes if they were lucky, they'd already have one built. They'd have a cave on their land, and they would be able to put their animals in it. We started checking every barn, every cave. Nope, that one's not it. Run to the next one. Nope, that one's not it. Finally, we get to the innkeeper's place, right on the edge of town. And we went, and we found a young couple in the cave. Is this it? We look. And there he was. There was a baby in the manger, just like the angel had said. And he looked like a normal baby, and he cried like a normal baby, and his mom nursed him like a normal baby. But when we looked at him, we knew something was different. Something filled our hearts. This must be the Messiah. I've never felt this way when I looked at a baby before. Okay? We knew. Now, it's not customary for us men to get to hold a baby, but we all wanted to. We said that to each other afterward. I've never wanted to hold a baby like I've wanted to hold that baby. And I looked over at my other fellow shepherds, and we all had tears in our eyes. There was something beautiful about this. And normally you'd think, what kind of people put their baby in a manger? But this was beautiful. This is the only place they had to put their baby. And there was something beautiful about this. Okay? We stayed there and we watched him fall asleep. We stayed there for quite a while. And he finally fell asleep. And we left the cave. And we wondered to each other, what's next? And we decided we have to go tell everyone and anyone who will listen. So, Bethlehem, there was a commotion that night. It was late at night. People were a little mad at first. We were making noises, waking everyone up. We were telling amazing news. And people are wondering, what's going on with these shepherds? Normally we wouldn't pay any attention to them. But maybe we should tonight, because we've never seen shepherds leave their sheep before. We've never seen them run into town. We've never seen them engaging with people the way they have tonight. They must have amazing news. Now, do you guys know what a homonym is? Have you learned that in school? Okay, a homonym is a word that's said the same and spelled the same, but it can have two different meanings, okay? You guys know the word rose? I learned this in your English. Okay? Rose, it means a flower, or it means someone rose up out of bed. Does that make sense? So it's said the same way, spelled the same way, but it can have two different meanings. I'm going to teach you a Greek word that we use. It's, say, angelos. Can you say it? Angelos. Okay. So what that means, on one hand, it means angel. On the other hand, it means messenger. Okay? Maybe a little bit similar, but they're a little different. But I want you guys to know the good news to the shepherds was told by angelos, by angels. It was announced by angels. And then when we got it, all of a sudden we became angelos, right? We became the messengers to Bethlehem to give the good news. Isn't that cool? We received good news and we shared good news. Okay? Our lives changed. Seeing a baby, specifically this baby, reminded me of scriptures I read when I was a boy. Do you guys have your scriptures with you? Hold them up. Do you have them? Oh, you have some. Your scriptures look much larger than mine do. Looks like you have an extra third or so maybe in there. But I want to share with you from my scriptures, when I saw this baby, things that reminded me of. So in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah writes, and this is about the promised Messiah, okay? He writes, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are young." So he's describing the coming Messiah, the promised Messiah, as being like a shepherd. I can relate to that. I understand that, what it means to hold a lamb in my arms. If that's what the Messiah is going to be like, he's going to be so good. He'll care for me. He'll keep me close to him. David writes in the Psalms, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." If the promised Messiah is going to be like that, I know he's going to be good. I would have brought in my staff in here this morning, but there's a law in Minnesota, you can't bring weapons into public places like this. Okay? And a staff is kind of like our weapon. That's what we use to fight off predators. But it's also used to help gather the sheep close to us. Okay? So if the Messiah is going to shepherd us like that with a rod and a staff, he'll protect us and he'll draw us close to him. He'll be good. The prophet Ezekiel also wrote this, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. He also says, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This was said over 600 years ago. He's promising a Messiah that will do these things. And that's good news. The Messiah will be like a shepherd. And it got me thinking, although he's described like a shepherd, I think he will also be much like a sacrificial lamb. Isaiah writes this too. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. I'm not sure exactly who that's about or what it's all meaning, but it seems like if that's the promised Messiah, this baby is going to grow up and die for my sins. He will be the sacrificial lamb. We won't have to do the whole temple system anymore. Us shepherds tended the temple lambs, the ones that would be sacrificed for our sins. But one day God is providing someone who will take all our sins upon himself and become the true Lamb of God. And that's good news. Do you know this good shepherd? Do you know this lamb? I've met him and he changed me. And I want you guys to think about him. Thank you.